Right, so next one.
You know, I read this the other day. How often, you must be honest now, I'm going to ask you a question. How often have you prayed and felt the prayer didn't go through the ceiling? Anyone here? Oh, thank you. There's one honest warning, a few more. You know what? I just want to encourage you this morning. When we pray, God hears. And when we pray, God acts, whether we see it or not. Now just hear the scripture in Psalm 18. In my distress, I screamed to the Lord for his help, and he heard me from heaven. So every scream and cry from our hearts is heard by God. And then this, he enshrouded himself with darkness, veiling his approach with dense clouds, dark as murky waters. So what does God do while we're praying? He hides himself, he turns himself to darkness, and we don't see a thing. But listen what happens then. Suddenly, the brilliance of his presence broke through the clouds with lightning and a mighty storm of hail. What does this say? We pray and we don't see anything happen. But God, yes. And on a day, like the birth of our first grandchild, God breaks through the clouds with brilliance and with hail and with power. So the fact that we don't see anything happening during persistent prayer does not mean that God is not listening or not hearing. Right, the rest, next. You know, I love this example from Scripture. They say this is the best example of, in Scripture, of a person that didn't give up. It's a Canaanite woman. She came to the Lord. I can just read it with you. And Canaanite means she wasn't a Jewish. And she said, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. Now imagine you standing in the presence of Jesus, the Son of God. You cry out to him. He looks at you and he doesn't say anything. Then his disciples urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. So the disciples thought his heart wasn't for her. They actually thought, you know, we feel just like you, we just want to get out of the way. But that was not the truth. Because Jesus answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This woman was not a Jewess. So Jesus talks to her, talks back now, but again, not in a very positive way. Then she came and worshipped him, saying again, Lord, help me. She was not put off. She didn't take offense. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. So the first time he didn't answer her, and twice he put her down in front of the disciples. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from my master's table. And then Jesus said these words, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to your desire. I want to encourage you this morning to remember this. Whether God answers us immediately, whether we hear him, and there will always be people around us saying, you know, you're wasting your time, like the disciples actually at that moment. Don't be despondent. Don't be put off. Okay, just hang in there. Next. You know, when I was a young Christian, I heard about this guy, George Muller. And he prayed for 50 years for two friends. And after 50 years, when they haven't come to the Lord, somebody asked him and said, do you still believe that they will be saved? And this guy said, you know what? I wouldn't have prayed for them if God didn't put their names in my heart and pray for them. And because he did that, I believe that they will be saved. One was saved at his funeral. One was saved after his death. You know, I've been praying for a friend Philip and myself, we have been in CBMC Christian Businessmen for, this is now 30 years. 30 years ago, I put three names on my list. I'll show you what my list looks like in a moment. And one of the, they were both, all three professors. The one I prayed for was, I really love this man. I really loved him. I wanted to spend eternity with him. I said, Lord, if this is selfish, please forgive me. But that sense of humor, nobody else in the world has that. I love this man, Lord. I want to be with him in eternity. So the Lord put deep in my heart to pray for him. I invited him for an alpha course at work. He left after the third session and said, I did not inherit the religious gene, Johan. Stop wasting your time. Then he became seriously ill, and very seriously ill. And one day the Lord said, I must go to him, pray for him, and anoint him. You know, that was a tough task to do for a man. I went up to Gabau on a mountain where he has a hut, went there. I had olive oil in the car, took him out into the car and said, Richard, I would like to pray for you and anoint you with oil. And he said, you know what his words were? If it will make you happy, you are. Okay, it made me happy. And I anointed him and I prayed. About 2 months later, I was walking around the beach, and there another friend of ours, who, by the way, is also one of the three on my list. He's still number one on my list. He still hasn't come to the Lord 30 years later. At his 70th birthday party, he told everybody, I just want to inform you, this is the other guy, that I don't believe. Okay, so I said, that's fine, Lord. He's on my list. But the one who was now so sick, the other guy told me and said, he's a death store. I don't think he'll survive another week. He's very sick. So that evening, we had a prayer meeting at our house. Church meeting. So the chief wasn't there, so I had more freedom, you know, to ask for things I couldn't usually do. So, at the end of the prayer meeting, I told the people his story, and I said, will anybody pray for him? Perhaps it's the last time. That's Sue said, I will. And you know what Sue said? The Lord told her, Sue said, the Lord told me, he's going to meet Jesus when he is sleeping, when his will is being subdued, when he can't, when that religious gene thing can't compete with the Spirit of God. That was 8 o'clock. 11 o'clock, I got a little message and said he passed away that night. You know when he passed away? 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock that night, he passed away. Then I had a doubt in my heart and said, Lord, sure. Is it possible that this man is really with you? And I shared it with the pastor, and the pastor said, you know you are. He's with the Lord. You know why? The Lord didn't waste your time. You pray for him for 30 years. And the very last night, in the moments of death, you were still praying for him. He's with the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Right, so I see time is running out so fast, so I've got about. So, you know, when we pray, it's not only to receive from God, it's also God changing us. We must never forget that this journey of prayer is also not only to receive from God, persistent prayer, but God changing us. So the first thing that God changes us with is He makes us grow in holiness. And I saw this in Psalm 24. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord and enter where he lives? Who may stand before the Lord? Only those with pure hands and hearts. Now, here I just want to tell you, I am the biggest sinner, much bigger than any of you sitting here. But you know what? God hasn't got a problem with sin. He only has a problem with unconfessed sin. So my sins are all confessed. Né? So I can come with boldness to the throne because my sins are forgiven by the grace and mercy of God. But God has a problem if you don't turn your back on sin. And you don't confess it. And that can hinder your prayers. If you have a serious, if you are in a marriage and you have an affair with a lady at work, I'm going to be very biblical now and say, forget it. You don't even have to pray. God doesn't hear. First, get that thing behind you, confess it, get it out of the way, and God will hear you. Right. Next one. We grow in faith. What do you think happened to my faith after my daughter, who was declared infertile, after 7 years, have two beautiful normal? Can you think what did to my faith? You know, Abraham is known as the father of faith. Do you think he always had that perfect faith? No. In Romans 4, it says, but Abraham never doubted. He believed God, for his faith and trust grew ever stronger. You know, when he had to take his son to sacrifice his son, and suddenly he looked behind him and he heard the lamb bleat, his faith grew. He saw that God was Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. So during this process of persistent praying for something, God builds up our faith. And the next one is persistent faith grows our character. Because in Romans 5, we read the following. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to be patient. You know, if we didn't have trials and tribulations, why would we pray? If everything was hunky-dory, we didn't have, if everybody was safe, everybody was healthy, everybody was fine, then we didn't have to pray. But because the world isn't like that, we have to pray, and God says, these things that we go through teach us to be patient. And patience develops strength of character in us and helps us to trust God more each time we use it until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. So the third thing that happens when we pray is God changes us, our character, and he gives us patience. You have to be very patient to pray for somebody's salvation for 30 years or 50 years. You need patience. But in the process, God changes you. Right. I must be very careful about this. This is our CBMC little card, Christian Businessman card. We use for putting people's names on. Now, you may laugh at that because most of you guys have lists on your cell phones, right, or computers, you don't. But what I like about a physical list that you can touch, you can put it in your Bible. And because we read our Bibles daily, you confront it with names. And I just, this may sound very legalistic to you, but you know what? It's easy to remember to pray for your children's infertility and for your finances and for the right marriage person to marry your daughter or son, because you never forget it, it's in your heart. But we tend to forget to be persistent to pray for salvation for people. And I was just reminded by this earlier this year, and I got this new card, and I got 10 new names, my 10 most wanted men. The people you put on those lists are people that you don't put people there who you think God can save. You must see my list. I mean, your heads would stand on end. Because I've got sinners on that list. I've got people on that list who are so anti-God. But you know what? I started this list 3 months ago. You know what happened last week? Number 10 on that list got saved. The last one I put on that list got saved last week. And you know what? We just have to do that. We have to be persistent, and we have to be, as Christians, also have to be organized. And it's not just, you know, dancing. I mean, I'd love to keep dancing here this morning. But Retief will forgive me if I say that may not necessarily bring salvation for people. Nay, I loved it. But yes, so we must do that. So how does God answer prayer? And I want to leave with you one of my, almost finished, just two more. One of the verses in Scripture that I like most. I'm going to read it for you from the Amplified. Now to him who is able to do superabundantly more than all that we dare or ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be the glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Did you notice the words here? Superabundantly. Infinitely beyond. You know, our prayers, ons gebede is maar baie eenvoudig. But God translates our simple prayers. He translates them. He forgives us our words and He sees our hearts. And then He does superabundantly, infinitely beyond. And I want to share a last lesson with you. I've often told you about Dali Kraino, our missionary in Thailand. We're very connected to this couple. We were there when he got saved today, and he's been there for 25 years. His dad turns 85 at the end of the year, and they desperately want to come and see his dad after 2 years now there in the mission field. And I wrote to him and I said, how's your finances? I said, Johan, it's hectic, you know. 3 tickets from South Africa to Thailand is 30,000 rand, but from Thailand to South Africa is 60,000 rand. It's a lot of money. I didn't have that money, and few of us have, so I said, Donnie, I'll pray for you. We'll start praying for you. You know what happened? This thing that now happened in the Middle East between Qatar and the other nations resulted in the fact that there was a fall in their sales, and for 2 or 3 days they halved their ticket prices. Isn't that superabundantly? Is it far beyond, infinitely beyond? They got the tickets for half price. Yes, and the finances have been given to them, and the tickets are paid. Okay, next. So what do we do when our prayers are not yet answered? You know, did you see that yet? While I have breath and while I am alive, I will not stop praying for something that God has put in my heart. I will not give up. I will be like that frog around the stork's neck. I love this in Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I pray. Don't fail me, Lord, for I'm trusting you. Don't let my enemies succeed. Don't give them victory over me. And I love this third verse. None of those who have faith in God will ever be disgraced by trusting Him. You know, the Word of God is a book of absolutes. Did you see the words there? None of those, nobody, will ever be disgraced. And then it says, overlook my youthful sins, O Lord. Look at me instead through eyes of mercy and forgiveness, through eyes of everlasting love and kindness. So, when I continue prayer that has not been answered, then I look at the character of God, not the angry judge that we saw in the beginning, but the Father from the prodigal son. The moment we turn our eyes to Him, He just embraces us and He overloads us. Then, with His goodness. I must end with this picture because pictures speak louder than words. Words. You know, persistent prayer is like constantly chopping to get to the treasure. Now I must be careful here because it may look like a thing of the flesh here, né? That guy at the top. But I tell you, it's not of the flesh, it's the Spirit of God that empowers him to keep the faith and to keep on, because there is a treasure to be received. But you know what is sad when we turn around just before the victory? That is sad. And I tell you today, in eternity, we will hear, we don't see today, but we will hear about amazing treasures, as he spoke this morning, treasures of faith, that were not tapped because people turned around too early. Never, ever give up. Okay, so I just want to leave this list with you. What are you praying for at the moment? What am I praying for? I am praying, really, I can really write a book on the things that Rihanna myself has trusted the Lord for in our lives, that He came through. There are still prayers, as I've shared with you, that I've been praying for 30 years and have not been answered. And at the moment, I'm trusting God for certain things in my life, in my family, but specifically also in my body, which is a personal thing, but I'm trusting God for a breakthrough. And I just won't give up until He's answered. Amen. So I just want to, at this moment, pray for us. And if you just put your faith with my faith this morning, and I would like to pray that God will instill in our hearts this faith. That He will instill this persistence in our hearts. And if there are some of you who are a bit like that man in the second row, who just feel like turning around and to give up, that it will not happen. You'll turn around this morning and you'll face the right direction because there is a treasure. Okay, can I pray for us? Lord, we just thank You, Father, first of all, for Your Father heart. And Lord, thank You that You revealed that heart so many times to myself and Rihanna in our lives, Lord. And especially, Lord, when I look at that picture of my daughter, who was a childless wife and is now a happy mother of children. Lord, I know that You are true to Your word. And Lord, this morning, I just want to pray for myself, the things I'm trusting You for at the moment, and also my brothers and sisters here. Lord, You know what's in their hearts this moment. Holy Spirit, just reveal to each of them the things, Lord, where perhaps they have lost faith. Lord, where they've given up. And I just ask that You will turn us around this morning to face You again, Lord. Not to turn our backs on You, but to turn our faces to You. And to keep on praying. Because, Lord, You hear our prayers, and You are a God who is for us. And if You are for us, who can be against us? And Lord, this morning, together with all my brothers and sisters here, I want to praise You and thank You for the testimonies that's going to come forth in the weeks to come. Lord, testimonies of breakthroughs in many areas of lives, and testimonies of salvation, testimonies of Your goodness, testimonies of how You provided. Yes, testimonies of how You've changed lives. Lord, we give You all the glory and all the honor this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to say, if there's any one of you who just feel at this moment in time that you would just like to come to the, you know, for to the people myself or whoever wants to pray, and just for agreement of prayer for an area that you've lost hope and faith, you're welcome.